Good morning, everybody. This is the KFPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Well, the good news is not all of the state, but a good portion of it has lightened up their smoke. The smoke's lightened up a little bit. A part of that was due to a nice north wind yesterday. For example, over on the east side of Markleyville and down over on the west fork of the Walker along Highway 395, they've been plagued with the smoke from, the Yosemite fire and then the Donnell fire. That smoke seeps over the mountains and comes up there in a little prevailing south wind. Well, the north wind blew it mostly out of there, and everybody was really happy because it had really been smoky over there. So the good news is, if it's going to get smoky again, it's going to take a few days to get as smoky as it was, because it just laid in those basins. And the Carson Valley itself is in a basin. Well, south of there, up over the little summit down by Topaz Lake, that's another basin. Antelope Valley, that's a basin. And that's where the town of Colville and Walker and the West Fork of the Walker River is. And then as you get up, I'd say upriver, but I mean south, down 395, closer to where Highway 108 comes in, that's the Sonora Pass Highway, a lot of the smoke kind of filters over right in through there. So anyway, the whole idea is that you got a break, okay, and you got a break like at Eagle Lake. Now, the Eagle Lake fire was called the Whaleback Fire, and that's named after the shape of the outline of a mountain to the west of Eagle Lake. That happened a couple of weeks ago, and it got very little coverage except on this program, and maybe it was mentioned somewhere. But, you know, Eagle Lake is a destination this time of year for its trout fishing. They have some of the, in the town of Spalding, they have some of the cheapest cabin rentals in the entire state, and these are nice cabins. These are mountain homes. I mean, I've been staying there for a million years off and on, and every time I've stayed someplace, it's just been wonderful. It's just been a great shape. They do a wonderful job. Heritage Land handles a lot of that. They do a great job with all that. Well, the whole town of Spalding was evacuated 2 weeks ago yesterday. And the marina on the south shore was evacuated. All the campgrounds on the south shore evacuated. The roads, A21, I think it is, off Highway 44, closed. That's still closed, but you can get other roads and you can get in there. But the fact is, they let everybody back in. There's still some personnel on around, but the thing is, you can get in. You can get into the campground. I think the only campground closed is Christie Campground, because that's only open until Labor Day anyway. It was kind of a staging center for a lot of the firefighting personnel, so that remains closed and will still. But there's other campgrounds there. There's plenty of room, so everything's back to business, and we'll get a pretty good report on the fishing. Some nice fish, up to 4 pounds out of Eagle Lake. So, anyway, and they can see several miles there, unlike the Sacramento Valley, which you cannot. So, the real story is the salmon. Once again, though, I have to say, all up and down the coast, we'll get a report out of the Bay Area. Now, just as things look like they're going to turn south on us, meaning all these salmon are going to start coming up the rivers, they had one bad day this week in the Bay Area. And I think that was Wednesday. Outside of that, it was one of the better days of the whole season. And I think what made it that was not so much numbers, but the size of the fish, the average size, kind of took a jump up. And that's good. And, of course, the rock fishing was good. The potluck fishing in the bay took a hit, but that usually goes with the tides. So if it's poor 1 week, it's going to be good the next, if you know what I mean. Then up at Bodega, you know, they've had some weather problems, and by the time the weather settles down, now you start booking trips, but before you can get out, the wind comes up again. They had, I think, 2 or 3 days of good weather, and there was some fish caught, but then they had to cancel the trips for today, because today and tomorrow is supposed to be windy there. Next week looks good. Up at Fort Bragg, we'll find out in a few minutes from Barry Canavera. Up at Eureka, Well, guess what? Finally, the party boats all limited out. It looks like all those fish that were predicted to come up the Klamath River are staging now, and that's really good news. On top of that, if you'll recall, last week we had an interview with Mick Thomas as he was on the water in the Klamath Estuary down by Requa, and he said, well, we're getting a few fish, that the fish are moving in and out, but I would guess next week might be a whole different story. Well, Thursday and Friday of this week, it was a whole different story, and everybody caught limits if they started fishing on the afternoon outgoing tide, and I caught Mick just as a sea lion had eaten his first salmon. So we'll hear from him. As far as the rivers are concerned, the mouth of the American cannot live up to its opening week, that's for sure, when, you know, the water was hot, the water was warm, but a bunch of fish still were caught. Now we're looking at 2 to 6 fish a morning down there. Not very good, but the water is very, very warm. This week there was some fish caught up in Corning. Then they kind of disappeared. Further up the river, it's kind of gone way down. You got to spend most of a day to get 1 or 2 fish. Not great fishing up there, but we will get a report on some rainbow fishing, some pretty nice rainbow fishing in Shasta itself, and some outlandish wild trout fishing on the upper Sacramento River near Redding. So we'll get a report from the East Fork of the Carson. Everybody over there was just elated that the smoke had got blown out, and they had planted the week before like 1,800 pounds, and nobody was over there fishing. And this week, all of a sudden, boom, everybody was just getting into big, beautiful fish yesterday. Over on the West Fork of the Walker, pretty much the same scenario. They don't have the same planting schedule, but it's a long, long river. They made a couple of trophy plants this year. The Department of Fish and Wildlife is planting that river almost every week, so there's still good fishing over there. And up at Davis Lake, well, it's had its share of smoke, too, and it's kind of slow fishing, but we'll talk to Ed Dillard. He'll tell us about a huge plant at Davis Lake, and also how he and his girlfriend went out and caught a whole bunch of catfish at Davis Lake. Of course, we usually consider that a trout lake. Now you know better. Rob Reimers will be calling us. The Feather River picked up. The Delta continues to kick out striped bass, a lot of them good size. Don Paganelli will join us talking about fishing in the city this Thursday, not on a Saturday, but this coming Thursday, and also how he did quite well on bass in both Berryessa and Folsom. All that and more coming up in the next 2 hours and 45 minutes on the KFPK Outdoor Show. Thanks for being here. Find out what's happening up in the Fort Bragg area with Captain Barry Canavero. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Bob.
Well?
Well, it's nice and foggy, and we actually had just killer salmon fishing.
Really? That's great.
Last weekend, Friday, we got blown off the water. Saturday, we did a rock cut trip, and we went up to Westport, and we did really good. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we fished salmon right here in front and what they call a lumber yard, and we did really well. Nice big fish.
Mm.
They were probably from like 16 to 24 pounds and just fought like crazy. They were just, we just good fishing. Best fishing I've had here in 3 years.
Wow, that finally, huh?
Finally.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're catching them. It's not as fast as it was. You know what happened? The commercial season opened again on Saturday, whatever day it was. And the boats were working in close where we were, you know, normally they don't fish that 60 foot of water.
I know.
But they were in there. I don't know if that had a lot to do with it or not, or if these were the Klamath fish, then they hightailed out of here because Eureka went on fire. I don't know. I it's hard to figure out, but, it was good fishing, and it was big fish, and we didn't have to fish on the reef, and I don't particularly care to fish on the reef. It comes up so fast that you lose your downrigger ball so easy.
Yeah.
But
it holds bait fish, and that's why they're there, right?
Yeah. And everything we did with flashers and Pro-Trol rotary salmon killers and with anchovies.
Uh-huh.
And they seemed to work better than, we tried spoons and we tried hoochies and stuff, but that was it. They wanted bait for sure. And there was a lot of bait out there. So it was good.
So what, compared to the Bay Area, do you fish the same depths, like, usually roughly 25 to 40 feet?
Yeah, well, not really. We do fish some of them in that depth, but most of them are down on the bottom. Depending, we're in usually 100 feet, 90 feet of water, And before it was all on the bottom. Now we're getting a few with a pound and a half weight off the back, about 30 pulls.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be hitting the bait. So, it was all spoons there, but I think it was because it was so rough that, the spoons were working really good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the spoons work themselves, and then a little pitch and roll adds a little stop and go and all that other kind of stuff to them.
Yeah. It was, we've had a better salmon season than I would have figured we would have had, after last year was so bad up here. But it was that was pretty good. So we'll see what happens. We're going to fish salmon tomorrow. We're going to try to get out albacore on the 17th. I think it's next Friday. Only really safe window so far that we can see. A boat went out of here on, what's today? Today is Saturday, so it's Thursday. And under what conditions, I couldn't tell you. If you look at the weather forecast, I wouldn't have went. But he went, and he got him in 35 miles, and he got, or 36 miles, he got 35 fish, something like that. But no numbers have been given up or anything yet. But if you look, we haven't got really a good shot at the water in a week at least or more. And there is some warm water not too far out. So, unless the guy gives up his numbers, we're not going to know.
Yeah.
That's very unusual. But most
well, you know, I think last Sunday it was, they had just two boats go out of Eureka, one a party boat, one a private boater, and I think the private boater got in the low 30s, okay, but the fish were exactly 50 miles out, which made it.
I read that, I saw 60 miles, that's a long ways.
That's a long ways.
Number one, it's about, for us, if we have a halfway decent ocean, 60 miles, we're still looking at over 2 hours and a lot of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to do that, but, we have. We used to go 90 miles out of the Bay Area, but we're kind of spoiled up here. We haven't had to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see what happens. We're got a full boat on the 17th, Friday it is, because we looked at maybe we could go maybe Thursday, but I don't know, looking at the weather forecast, but it changes, and you just never know for sure.
Yeah.
Crazy thing yesterday, it was a little bit rolly in the morning and stuff, and then it turned out to be glass in the afternoon, and glass.
Too bad you can't predict that, huh?
Yeah, do an afternoon trip. But, it's weather is still a crazy thing. It is foggy up here, dripping wet. And we were, in our little campground here, there's five or six of us, and we do these potluck things every night. And I'm telling you, the other night, it was so cold. finally, they started a fire, And, and you listen to what's going on down there, and you say, God, even just a little bit of heat wouldn't hurt us up here. But this has been the wettest, foggiest year. God. And so got 3 more weeks and we'll be back to the heat, I guess. as I'm sitting here, I got my fireplace on again, you know, it's nice and warm in my trailer.
It's so strange to hear that.
It is. I know.
It barely gets cool enough at night to have your windows open here, you know.
Yeah, I know. I had this one guy in Stockton, he's giving me a hard time, so I took a picture of, I was watching the baseball game and the fireplace was on, and I sent it to him. See, I wasn't lying to you.
Yeah.
But the rock cod fishing has been really good. Ling cod, not quite as good as you would expect. Water temperature is hanging right in there, 51 to 53 on the inshore. And
don't the rock cod like a little bit warmer water now?
Well, I mean, it's a whole lot better than when we first got up here when it was 48 degrees.
Yeah, I know it.
No, but I mean, you know, it's pretty good. You know, you're getting your share of every mixed of all kinds. Uh-huh. And you'll run over those schools of blues and blacks, and you can load up real fast. And
What is the limit on blacks? 3 this year now?
3 per person.
Yeah.
And it's 2 lings per person. So,
you know, you talk to people up in British Columbia and Alaska, and they're just bragging about all these big 7 and 8 and 9 pound blacks are getting up there. Like, oh man, that would really be something. I mean, once in a while we get a fish of that size down here, but I don't know what it caused their population decline. I mean, it sure isn't the sport fishermen. I don't get it.
You know, we've had a lot of big blacks. We had one last week. I swear, I mean, it was like a 7-8 pound striper. It was big. And, I don't know. When we first started coming up here, we were getting a lot of big blacks. But it's not, you don't catch as many as you were. Of course, you're only allowed a few, but, you're releasing quite a few of them. The good thing about it is that we're fishing in shallow water, so we're not hurting those fish when we release them.
Yeah.
We do have that releaser, that fishing game Davis, so and it does work. And
explain that, because I think more sport fishermen, if they got educated, would get one of those.
Yeah, it looks like a baby boga grip. You hook it on there on your line, and you set the depth that you want it to go off at, and you drop it down. You leave it down there for a while, and all of a sudden it'll open up, and the fish is gone. Whether it makes it or not, we don't know, because it's down in, 60 feet, 100 feet, whatever.
Yeah.
And
so the whole idea, when you bring up the fish quickly, it fills the bladder with air, and they have trouble swimming back down to the depth they were, and this just takes them down, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's a great idea. It's better than sticking them with a needle. You don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, well, I mean, neither, you don't really know this way either, but, it does what it says it's going to do, so we just hope. But, it's so nice. We fish, 30 feet of water. We up Westport area, we have one rock that gets up to 24 feet. I mean, it's just been our go-to rock. And
it's funny how fish just pick out a particular rock that you think it's the same, but it must be different because you leave it alone for a day or two, and the fish will just pile in there, huh?
Yeah. But year after year after year, this one rock has just been just a killer for us. And, we go there. As we come into, it's a little above Westport, but as we come in, we just go right to that rock to start off with, and we get, half our limits right there, and we'll move out a little bit and see if we can pick up some wings and stuff. And that was 3 or 4 trips ago, I don't know when it was, but we left there with the lings biting the bottom of the boat off. It was unreal. We had so many, I said, hey, you can't take any more, throw those back.
Yeah. I'll bet you the rock fishing and ling is going to get even better even your last 3 weeks there because of the water temperatures. There's warmer water all around you. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, the thing is that there's it's warmer up there anyhow. It's 56, 57 up there.
Yeah.
But, what about the weather? I mean, this is August. We should start getting some nice weather.
Yeah.
And I don't see it in the forecast that we got. But hopefully,
Yeah, you never know.
Couple of weeks will be good.
Barry, not a bad week all in all, I'd say. So
No. A lot of salmon. That was good.
That's good. Well, good luck this week, and we'll check with you next Saturday. Good luck on that albacore trip.
All righty.
See you later.
Bye.
Barry Canavero, Fish Hookers Sport Fishing, to book a trip, 916-870-4225. This is when Fort Bragg just starts to really come into its own. You always got a chance at a big salmon, but the rock cod and the ling cod, this is the beginning of the real season there. After the break, we'll check Emeryville. Don't go away. You know, listening to Barry talk about fishing for rockfish and up by Westport, a couple things about Westport, you know, it doesn't have a great water. It's right on the coast, but it doesn't have a great water supply. And I remember during the severe droughts, we'd go through there, and you could not get a glass of water. You could get a drink at the bar, but you could not get a glass of water. It was really bad. But Westport goes way back to the 1800s. It was originally named for a guy named Samuel Beale. It was called Beale's Landing. But in 1877, a guy named James Rogers began construction of a chute. And basically, this was to load lumber on the clipper ships and everything. And they're built in San Francisco. They needed lumber for the the whole deal. And so he got the honor of giving it its present name. And since Rogers was from Eastport, Maine, naturally, he called the town Westport. So that's how Westport got its name. I talked to Andy Giuliano of Fish Emeryville. Not a bad week. Listen to this. Andy, it never ceases to amaze me. Here you had Wednesday of this week was kind of a dud for everybody, and yet without that day, from what I hear, it was one of the better weeks of the whole year.
Yep, absolutely, Bob. You know, it started on Saturday. The guys got relocated on the salmon grounds on Saturday, and there was a touch of offshore weather that they had to contend with, which kind of limited where they could go. But all throughout the week, with the exception of Wednesday, it was, you know, I would argue one of the best weeks of the year. We had excellent quality fish. You know, some of the boats had limits of fish from 12 to 14 pound average up to fish in the 20s. And that was all Marin Coast, straight out in the shipping lane. And you could really kind of pick your spot. I know our buddy Craig Hansen had six really nice limits of fish yesterday, fishing the edge of the bar to the shipping lane. So,
on Argo sport fishing.
Yes, on Argo.
Good for Craig.
So
he's been doing it a long time, huh?
Yeah, so that was, and to me, that was perfect because it was classic Northside salmon fishing where mm-hmm. it wasn't jackpulling the fish in, you know, limit fever like we had for that long stretch, but you got one, then maybe you went a half an hour, then you got two, and if you could hold on to them, you ended up with a super fine day of salmon fishing.
Yeah, so the bigger fish, that's always indicative of the fish kind of staging to come up the river, huh, Andy?
Yeah, these look like classic Sacramento River fish, too. Nice deep fish, thick. They were, you know, offshore fish. You could see they had the deeper red color like they were on the krill. And so, you know, really, really fine fishing.
Yeah. Well, you know, at this point, who knows how long the good ocean fishing is going to last?
Well, that's exactly it. You know, I know the guys up above us had some decent fishing. I had heard at Bodega. And then later in the week, from the Pillar Point area, Half Moon Bay, Deep Reef, some of the guys on the party boats located some fish that were completely different grade of fish, mixed grade of fish from keepers up to 15-pounders, but really good numbers of fish where they were able to get, limits or 30, 35 fish a boat too. So
Well, you know, you've really had the best of both worlds here, Andy, for most of the season. For example, in the last week, a lot of people like to go to Bodega Bay. Well, the wind's been blowing over there. Then the wind stops, and people double-check it, and by the time they make a reservation over there, the wind's going to come up again, and a lot of trips are canceled for tomorrow.
Well,
it's crazy.
Well, Yeah, we did have, you know, the stretch of wind we had in front here was pretty unusual for August. You know, as you know, we would start to see the weather start to moderate. So we saw that northwest wind was more like springtime weather. And the buoys are cold, the water's cold. So, you know, we're due here for a good stretch of some nice early fall weather.
Yeah. The whole coast is, huh?
Yeah, all the way up and down. And I think we'll get some here next week. It looks, the long-range forecast looks.
How's the rock fishing and lingcod fishing holding up, Andy, both on the coast and at the Farallones?
All very good, real strong limit. The Seawolf had 27 limits of rockfish, 27 limits of lingcod today. And earlier in the week with the weather offshore, the guys fished the coast and turned in nice scores of blacks and blues and browns and some vermilion and limits of lingcod. And then as we got into the middle part of the week, when the weather moderated, they were able to get back to the islands. And really, it's still limit-style fishing in both locations. It's just the mix of the fish.
Yeah.
And at the islands, you get the yellows and widows and blues as well.
Yeah.
And some mix of reds in there, too. So real nice ocean fishing this week.
Okay, and last but not least, the bay, the halibut, stripers. What's happening? I'm not hearing too much.
Well, so I did hear early in the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I think there was some good bass fishing at Red Rock, some good fishing at Treasure Island. And then as the tide shifted the middle part of the week, we had a half-day kids trip that just had five bass and five halibut on Wednesday. So it seemed to peter out a little bit as we went into the week. And we'll see what happens next week with the next set of tides. I know there was some nice halibut on the coast, and now with the weather that moderating, maybe some of the private boaters will have a shot at that too.
Andy Giuliani of Fish Emeryville, I mean, that's quite a little week they had, I'll tell you. And this next week the potluck will probably jump up. Book a trip on the regular party boats or the six packers or a four packer. Call 510-652-3403. And if you want to find out what happened that day, like this afternoon, call the hotline around 4:30, quarter to five, and that's area code 510-652-3474. That's interesting. You mentioned stripers at Red Rock. Remember a couple of weeks ago we had Frank Miller of the Fury on. Now, Frank keeps his boat out at Point San Pablo, and that's the closest marina to the brothers in Red Rock. And, you know, for years and years and years, you had the sisters and you had the brothers. And, in fact, we even talked to Frank about the sisters. The Sisters is a real long, long drift, and you can do a great drift on the incoming tide. You can catch stripers. You can catch halibut, especially early in the season. Nobody fishes the Sisters anymore, but right across the way is the Brothers, which are two rocks and a lighthouse there, and it's really rocky. It's snaggy. You lose a lot of tackle, but they catch some of the biggest stripers consistently in the whole bay right there at the Brothers. Then you go to Red Rock, which is just below the Richmond San Rafael Bridge, and there's different drifts on each side of Red Rock. So, and that's just like a few hundred yards away from the Brothers. So, you know, just those two spots right there, if there's any stripers in the northern part of the bay, they're going to be at one of those two spots. It's kind of funny, even at Red Rock, you have a drift on one side of that island, and you might catch nothing but small fish, shakers, and maybe fish up to 4 or 5 pounds, and you do the other side, and then you get a few shakers, but you get your 10, 12, 14-pounders. And then you go there a week later, and it's just the opposite. And I can't figure it out, but that's the way it is. Okay. After the break, Mr. Dan Bacher. Stay with us. Welcome back. Let's find out what Mr. Dan Bacher of the Fish Sniffer is up to. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, listen, before I don't know what you're going to talk about, but something I found very interesting. You know, there was some legislative meeting this week on the bullet train, and they were talking about how, you know, progress is slow and this, and they said, you know, the original estimates was for like what, $32 billion, and now it's up over $90 billion.
Wow, three times what it was projected to be.
Yeah, and my question is, why is the $15.5 billion tunnel project, which is now 12 to 15 years old, only $16.5 billion?
Right.
Does anybody believe that? Isn't it amazing how they take huge measures to keep from talking about that?
Yeah. Yeah, the costs always balloon.
Sure, at least double, and now triple with the bullet train, and that's not an old as a provision as the tunnels is.
Right. And speaking of the tunnels, that's exactly what I was going to talk about, because on Thursday we heard the good news that California's Joint Legislative Budget Committee announced that they've postponed indefinitely a hearing on extending state water project contracts to fund the tunnels, despite a lot of pressure from Governor Brown and the Department of Water Resources. And that hearing would have cleared the path for the Department of Water Resources to force ratepayers to assume the cost for the project without legislative oversight over future contract amendments. And yeah, you know, this took an effort by a whole bunch of groups, ranging from Food and Water Watch and Restore the Delta to fishing groups and environmental groups. And also there was editorials against it in a number of major newspapers, including the San Jose Mercury News. And legislators like Assemblymember Jim Frazier, who's the chair of the Delta Caucus of the legislature, he also sent a really strong letter against it. So, you know, this isn't done, but at least this hearing is postponed indefinitely, and it shows you that a big turnout of calls, tweets, emails, editorials, and action alerts resulted in postponing this committee, which was going to happen. It was going to happen this coming week. Mm-hmm. And this shows you that when you put a lot of effort, you can win sometimes. Although this is just one battle in many that we face coming up on this tunnels plan.
Well, you know, I kind of think that they realize there could be a tremendous backlash if they just keep pursuing this thing with the constant comments, like you brought up so many times, these stakeholder meetings. You know, the only people they leave out of the stakeholder meetings are the ratepayers.
Right.
Now, how can you do that? Now, that is not a government for the people. And people don't like that. You know, wait a minute, I don't like this. I'm not voting for this. But I'm sorry, pal, you don't have a vote, you know,
right.
just like the Twin Tunnels, you know. So
yeah, and speaking of the ratepayers, who are the people that actually pay for the water, they are overwhelmingly against the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
The last meeting that I watched at the Metropolitan Water District, there was no grassroots water stakeholders, no individual ratepayers that came to the meeting in support of the tunnel. So only people that were for it were lobbyists and heads of water agencies and chamber of commerces. So the people oppose it, and it's important. It's not just the people in Northern California and Central California, but the people in Southern California, they have the biggest stake in paying for it. So they're overwhelmingly opposed because
of the fact that it isn't going to benefit them. Well, you know, it's going to raise water rates, but they're going to get no new water out of it. And essentially, it's a deal that will ensure that more water goes to agribusiness. And that's what it's all about. It's a deal between the urban water agencies and the big agribusiness to make sure their water keeps coming in.
Well, it's a manipulation of money. I mean, it kind of reminds me of what's going on now in Sacramento with Mayor Daryl Steinberg wanting a 1 cent sales tax, and yet they don't dare point out what they want this tax for, because if they label a reason for it, then they need a supermajority to pass it. And by not labeling it, all they need is 50% plus one vote. And I think a lot of people are thinking, well, he's going to use this for the homeless. Well, there's other issues too. But in other words, it's here, give me your money, and I'll figure out how to use it for you. And people don't like that anymore.
And it must be noted that Daryl Steinberg was the one that, with Governor Schwarzenegger, engineered the water bond, water policy package of 2009 that was finally voted on in 2014. And immediately after leaving the legislature, he was a Senate pro tem, he worked for the biggest enemy of the people of Sacramento, the Delta, and the Sacramento Valley, the Metropolitan Water District.
Yeah, what a coincidence.
And that was exposed in a B article, front page article. But most people, it doesn't sink into their heads when they see him talk that, you know, this is a guy that worked for the other side. And he'd probably still be working for them under contract if that wasn't exposed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and on the other side, on the hunting side, he was the one that all this gun control legislation went through, and he promised to pass this and pass that, and it was all part of a bargain that had with other issues that had nothing to do with gun control. And all these issues that were passed don't do one doggone thing to keep people from getting harmed. They're just, I mean, no lead ammunition in California as of next year. You know, that's millions and millions and millions of dollars of ammunition that law-abiding people are sitting on. They have no idea what to do with. That's really good legislation with no scientific proof that lead ammunition makes a big impact in the outdoors. That is Daryl Steinberg.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do we got any time left for just one little quick announcement?
2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes. Okay. The next battle in the war of the state of the Delta and West Coast fisheries looms on August 21st, when the State Water Resources Control Board will hold a public meeting for their Bay Delta Plan updates in Sacramento. And this public meeting will consider the adoption of proposed amendments to the water quality plan for the Bay Delta estuary. And it will take place on Tuesday, August 21st, 9:30 a.m. And it's at the Joe Serna Cal EPA headquarters building. It's 101 I Street in Sacramento. And this is where they're going to discuss the plan that has increased flows down the San Joaquin River for Delta fish and for salmon. So a bunch of fishing groups like the Pacific Fishery Federation, of Fishermen's Association, and also Restore the Delta and Food and Water Watch are pushing for people to show up this meeting. So I encourage anybody that can take off the time from work to go to it.
Okay. Give us the date again.
It's going to be on August 21st, That's Wednesday. It's going to be at 9:30 a.m. at the Joe Cerna Cal EPA headquarters building, 1001 I Street in Sacramento.
Yeah, you said 101 before, 1000.
Oh, yeah, 1001, I mean.
10th okay. And I.
Yeah, that makes a big difference because people get real mad if they go to the wrong spot. But you can go up to the Restore the Delta.
Dan, we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Dan Bacher will give you the phone number to get a hold of the fish snifter after the break. After the break, Salmon on the Feather.